I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Welcome to Primates, the podcast where we explore primates in popular culture from chimpan A all the way down to chimpan Z. I'm your host, Matt Stewart, and I'm joined by the official second banana of the show, also the host of the gaming show about games, gaming, gaming, game, Evan Monroe-Smith.
Hello.
How's it going, Evan?
Good.
How are you?
It's a beautiful
enjoying?
Day today.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, how are you enjoying
what
this
a lovely
weather?
Day.
Lovely day. I spent it in a park for part of it. It was very, very nice.
Oh, that does sound nice.
An empty
I was
park.
Inside most of the day.
People have, in Melbourne, everyone was going to the parks when we're allowed to again, and I think people are over parks again. it was amazing. This park, the same park, not far from my place, was packed every day recently, and today there was just not a single person there.
And maybe everyone's just at the hairdresser now.
Yeah, I think it's the more options that open up, the less people we're going to see in the parks. They're going to start spreading to the beer gardens and the cafes and the et ceteras when people are back at work or whatever. But yeah, it's definitely opened my eyes to parks. I'm going to try and get to parks more.
Yeah, I think I'll try and do that too.
And it's also opened my eyes to golf more. I'm trying to play golf every few weeks because it's like a park, only it's also a sport and you can get to catch up with people.
Yeah, it's an activity.
Yeah, it's best of both worlds.
I think that's why I don't go to parks. I go when I think about a park, I'm like, what am I going to do there? Just sit?
Yeah.
I'm doing that right now.
Could do that in
if
a
you
yard.
Go to a park for an activity like golf.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we've got a dog now. We go walk the dog. That's
you
usually
go
why
dog
we go to
park.
Parks. We go to a dog park.
I don't know about these dog parks. Dog people, have you become a dog person? Like those ones are kind of a bit uncomfortable to talk to.
No.
They're really enthusiastic and they, it just feels like they only normally talk to their dog and then all of a sudden they're talking to you, but they only talk about dog things.
We have dog people. We, cause we walk the dog. Our dog Gonzo is a Chinese crested, a fairly unusual looking dog, as far as dogs go. And, so people will often, and he's a puppy as well. He's little, he's cute.
Yeah. Oh, it's a very cute dog.
If you're into that sort of thing.
And I am.
But yeah, dog people are the ones that stop and go, oh my God, can I pat him? You're like, I don't know, it's a pandemic at the moment. We should probably not,
can you back
be,
off
you
a
know,
bit?
Getting all up in each other's dogs. But
I'm casting a wide net there across all dog people. But you know, they're the specific kind of dog people. It's probably a small percentage of dog people, but they're really-
Probably.
Because I've minded relative's dog a few times, house sat and mounted their dog. And just when you go for walks, other dog people, they'll come at you and they'll talk dogs with you. You know, maybe they probably just want to talk to someone. I shouldn't be so mean to them. Good on them. Well done for reaching out.
I'm sure a lot of our listeners are dog people.
Oh, yeah, I imagine. Podcast people and dog people go hand in hand. I like dogs. Don't get me wrong. And I like people. But you know who I like even more than that?
You combine the two and you're not so hold on, sorry.
You basically got, once you combine the two, you basically got a non-human primate. You take the furriness of a dog with the, you know, the four limbs kind of often, you know, with the head right up there above the shoulders rather than front of the shoulders like on a dog. You know, you're taking the best of both worlds. You're getting some sort of an ape.
Yeah.
Don't you reckon? Well, yeah. Depends on the kind of dog you're mixing.
Yes.
A little dog like yours mixed with a human, you're looking at some sort of a little squirrel monkey or something.
Yeah, probably, because it's little and it doesn't have a lot of hair.
Yeah, and you've maintained the tail from the dog in this case. You never know what's going to come out when you go through the morphing machine. So the kinds of dogs I like, I don't know what they're called, but they've got heads that look like they could just run through brick walls.
Like a pug?
No, not like a pug. Like really, like rock hard heads with it. Like still got a snout, not like maybe like a bulldog. No, but they got a snout, not like a bulldogs and pugs are the ones that look like they're had their.
I don't know dog breeds. What's a pit bull?
Apparently, I don't know.
Versus maybe a bulldog, I don't know.
I don't know if it's a pit bull. I just saw this is the last kind of dog I saw, and I'm like, yeah, I like that dog. Okay. I should have been one of those people who went up to the owner and said, "Hey, what kind of dog have you got here?" Maybe the people who do that talk aren't dog people after all. They're dog curious people.
So, hey, this isn't a bloody dog cast.
It's not a dog cast. That's a separate podcast we do in our own time. We don't put it out normally. But this is a podcast about primates and popular culture. Specifically, at the moment, about the Umbrella Academy Season 2. I did want to ask you, though, Evan. You just before we started rolling, you told me you've got your new Oculus Rift.
Oh, yes.
And you showed me the headset. It looks very cool. Yep. Is it good?
Yep. It's white. It is good, actually. It's an Oculus Quest 2. The other ones I've had are the Rift and the Rift S. Both are now discontinued. It's good. I won't go into the intricacies and the details of the differences. But basically, this one is a standalone headset. It doesn't need to be connected to anything. It's cordless completely.
Yeah.
Whereas the other one is, it's a bit more high end, but it runs off your computer, so you need to be attached to the computer, via a cable, which can, ruin your immersion a bit. It sort of limits, it tethers you to the computer.
Unless the game you're playing is you're in an old school deep sea diving suit with a tube that goes all the way to the surface.
That'd feel very realistic.
Yeah.
Particularly if your computer was in the ceiling.
Oh, yeah. Which so yours probably is.
Tug on it and they'll pull you
tug
back up. Is that what happens?
43 times and we'll bring you back up. Tug on it 42 times. We know you're dead.
Is that? Oh, it's the Simpsons.
Yeah, that's the...
The flaming hellfish? Is that what it is?
Yeah, the hellfish. Yeah, that's it.
Man.
So that's cool. Yeah, we're not sponsored by Oculus. I was just curious.
No. I've been playing it a bit. It's fun.
Yeah, cool. I'm looking forward to being in the same room as you soon so I can have a go.
Yeah.
Can I have a go?
If you have a negative COVID test. It's probably one of the least hygienic things to be sharing around.
Yeah. I'm not suggesting, I'm talking about in a post-vaccine world.
Sure, okay.
Or great. A post-cure world, whatever. I'm not a scientist. But anyway, so... have you watched this episode 3 of the Umbrella Academy season 2?
I did, actually, yeah.
which is always a bonus.
it's called The Swedish Job, which at the start I'm like, oh, this will be all about the Swedes. But now that I've watched it, I'm not really sure. Maybe as we talk through it, it'll become clearer what the title is kind of is relating to. It didn't seem like there was sort of a big through line with the Swedes in this one, but maybe it'll become clear as we discuss.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I hadn't put that together. It's clearly, well, to me, it was clearly some sort of a play on the Italian Job, right?
Yeah, but even...
There's no heist in it, is there?
No. Not that I recall. That's there might what have been I like assu- a short I sh- one that just sort of flashed in front of and I forgot about it.
Mm, I was assuming that it was going to be focused on the Swedes. And it was going to be some sort of heist, but it was neither of those things. So, yeah, someone will message in and say, oh, you idiots, it was obviously this. But anyway, so it's called The Swedish Job. It's episode 3, season 2, and the synopsis is, as the sit-in approaches, Allison reconnects with Klaus, the Swedes chase Vanya into a cornfield, and Luther makes a distressing discovery.
Mmm.
Yeah, right. I mean, yeah, his distressing discovery, that reads like if I was reading that, I would assume new information was coming to light, but the distressing discovery was something we already knew.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that soon.
Yes, it was distressing for him.
So it starts off back 3 years earlier than we left off. It starts back in 1960 when Klaus had already, well, like he hadn't been back in time for long. And we find him being chucked out of a restaurant because he smells and he can't pay his bill. I mean, surely you can just say you didn't pay your bill. Do you have to throw in that crack about his smell? He said something like, your smell is putting off other customers. Yeah, but main thing is I can't pay, right?
But this is the familiar Klaus that we know. So this is obviously not long since he arrived in the 60s.
Yeah, he's still wearing his army fatigues and, he looks like season one Klaus.
Mm.
And then we go on a journey with him as he becomes the cult leader that we sort of got pretty good glimpses of him becoming last week.
Yeah, so he's at this point helped up off the pavement by a wealthy old lady who is for some reason just enamored with him, and then he sort of, I guess, is taken in by her and he sort of wows her and her wealthy friends by using he uses Ben to lift himself up, but of course Ben as a ghost is invisible.
Yeah,
but they have this new sort of thing where they're able to physically sort of hit each other, touch each other, whatever. Ben is able to lift him up, and it looks to everybody else like he's just sort of levitating.
And they would like it because he's not like anyone else would be trying to see if there's anything holding him up, but he's only able to. Ben's only physically in the realm to Klaus, right? If you know what I mean. I put that sentence together poorly.
Yeah, so other people can't physically
So they'd walk underneath and wouldn't walk into him. So it's the perfect crime in a lot of ways. But I think this is a nod to... I have a vague memory that Klaus in the comic books can levitate.
Oh, right.
So I think it's kind of a nod to that.
Yeah, interesting.
I might be misremembering. But, yeah, so we see that stage and then time goes on and we see time going on by his hair's lengthening and maybe they even have the date at the bottom of the screen.
Yes. So we see him in 1962. He's in India and we see he's sort of gained a cult following. And then in San Francisco in 1963, so where they've just come from, again, surrounded by a huge number of followers. And something weird happens here. I'm not sure exactly what goes on here, but he's sort of like, he's in the middle and they're sort of lifting him up and he like starts whistling or something and then they all start whistling and then I guess he just sort of something clicks and he's just like, I've got to get out of here.
Yeah, I think.
And so he just runs off.
You can sort of see it building, I think, in these jump cuts, each one. He's sort of enjoying it early, being the cult leader. And then he's over it by the end and he just flees them. But we see the accountant guy or the lawyer who we met in prison. He was there on the bus.
What was his name?
It's like something like Shribbins or something.
So what's something like Shribbins?
We also saw...
Keechee was his name.
Yeah. We also saw Ben was in the bus at one point. I think maybe when they were driving through India or San Francisco.
Yeah.
And so they pull back and they show him sort of staring at one of the cult followers.
Yeah.
Like that was important.
Like he was falling in love or something. Yeah.
It made it seem like it was important, but didn't reference it again.
Yeah. I guess that may come back. Where I can't remember where they were when that happened, if that was in India or somewhere else. But anyway, so they get in the car to drive off, and this is presumably where we picked up their story, them driving back to actually this starts doing more sense later on. Driving back to Dallas. Where we left off last week in 1963. Of course Diego was shanked by his dad in a pretty strange turn of events. His wound is being tended to by Lila, who apparently saved him. I don't think we saw that last week.
No, we didn't.
He was left for dead last week.
Yeah, we thought we kind of assumed, but as far as we knew, he was dead, basically.
Yeah. Apparently Lila was following him or something, and so she was able to save him. So he's resting up. Five pops in. He's mildly surprised that Diego's not dead. And we also see that Elliot, the sort of conspiracy guy that they're hanging out with, is still tied up from their time out last week.
Yeah, he was tied up.
What happened there?
Yeah, he was tied up when they were watching the tape the video.
Oh, that's right. Because, yeah, right. Because we still don't really know what Elliot thinks is going on here. Because there's tape from the future of Kennedy and stuff.
Did I'm missing. I'll watch this in the bath, as I like to do, which I referred to you as the liquid cinema. And you did not even, you didn't even flinch. You just accepted that as a term, which I liked.
Yeah, I hit like on that.
So I was, and there was a beautiful moment later in the episode where I was mirrored by another character. Like, literally, I was in the same pose, only she wasn't watching a Netflix show with me in it in a bath. But everything else was exactly mirrored.
Okay.
What was I going to say?
I was talking about Elliot being tied up last week and still being tied up.
So I don't know if I got distracted or something, but I don't remember him being untied. Because the rest of the episode, he's not tied up. Do we see that happen?
You mean in after this, do we see him untied? Yeah,
him because he makes that weird jelly, tuna jelly.
That's right, yes.
And he's helping as well. He's helping Five. He's set up all these machines.
Yeah, that's
machines,
a good point, actually.
But I just don't remember him being untied.
Yeah. They definitely have skipped over. He's not a main character, but they've definitely skipped over him. Exactly what his reaction to the whole situation is. He seems to just be helping them again later on. Unless I also missed something, but yeah. And then we see again at the end of the last episode, we saw Vanya. She sort of like she was trying to get to sleep. She had flashbacks of her previous life, and she sort of bolted out of bed and drove off. Didn't know where she was driving
to. Right, I forgot that was straight after.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So she's we see her in the car now, driving along on the road, and then she stops the car because she sees ahead on the road a van with its lights on blocking the road, with a guy, you know, he's gotten out with a torch. So she's sort of like, you know, she's a bit confused. She pulls over.
Not just any guy, a milkman.
It's a milkman, yeah,
a Swedish milkman.
Yes. So she's a bit confused. He's acting a bit like a cop because he's got. He's got his torch. He's sort of like wandering over. What's going on here? She's been pulled over by the milkman.
She didn't realize she was in the milkman's jurisdiction at that point.
He sort of goes for a gun. He's gotten his behind him in his pants, and then the other two Swedes appear, and Vanya is freaked out a bit. She doesn't know who these people are, I guess, but they're somewhat threatening in what they're doing. So she sort of hits the gas and drives into a ditch, and then...
Hitting the gas was perfect. Hit that accelerator. I would have just stayed on the road. That was her big mistake, I reckon, was driving almost immediately off the road.
Well, was it because the van was there?
There was a slight bend, yeah. She was getting shot at. Her rear...
Yeah, that's true. Her rear window was shot out.
So in some ways, fair enough.
I feel like if the Swedes didn't... If they weren't so quick to start shooting, they would probably get a bit further. They could, you know, gain some trust. But look, maybe they don't have that capacity.
But we haven't seen them talk yet. We don't know if they can talk. Right. Or maybe they just don't speak English. But they don't even seem to speak to each other in any language.
No.
Apart from, you know, maybe, they seem to pick up their body language and stuff, though. Little nods and stuff. But I assume that is the titular Swedish job, right? Vanya is the Swedish job.
Right, yes. I think this is what's being described in the title. They chase her down, guns blazing, as they do. She's running through the cornfield. It feels like, Signs? That was a film with a cornfield in it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It feels like a bit of a trope.
Maybe Children of the Corn?
Is that a thing?
I don't know. It's definitely I think that's definitely something. I don't know what it is. I think it's maybe a film, or it's for the kids with the lights in their eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Probably parodied in The Simpsons.
I only know it's from The Simpsons.
Yeah.
She runs and then she runs like right into one of them with a gun, fires at her point blank, right? And then she freezes the bullet. Explodes and it knocks the Swede back. Oh, the corn is flattened. This is the first time we've she has no memory. She doesn't even know she has any power. She knows nothing about all this. It seems like it was just a just a reaction. Yeah, self-defense.
Yeah, so I was back. And I think maybe we discussed that slightly last week. That's how it'll come back, is it'll be a moment of stress or whatever.
Yeah, but like basically death, because what was it last week? She was, you know, approached by Luther and she wasn't, you know, she was pretty calm about it. You know,
yeah,
this
that's
guy,
that's
she
true
didn't know
too.
Who this guy was, this big guy, you know, she, yeah, anyway.
Okay, I mean, so Children of the Corn, because I know there'll be some people frustrated by this listening.
Yep.
Children of the Corn, a 1984 horror film where a young couple is trapped in a remote town where a dangerous religion cult of children believes that everyone over the age of 18 must be killed.
Oh. Is that the one that's parodied in The Simpsons?
Yeah, I'm not sure. But then there's also on TV Tropes... there's a page dedicated to Lost in the Maze, and maze is spelled
corn maze.
M-A-I-Z-E, like yeah. Corn. And there's heaps of films. Field of Dreams, which is a bit different. Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, Signs,
yeah, right.
Like you mentioned.
Yep.
The X-Files, episode Fight the Future. North by Northwest, there's a lot of them. Forrest Gump, apparently, Bonnie and Clyde. Apparently, it's a big thing. Freddy versus Jason, but yeah. Well, like you said, it's a bit of it's a trope. That's film.
Yeah, right.
Don't get me started on TV.
So yeah, she uses her power to save her life, and then we see that Elliot, now no longer tied up, as we said, he's using his equipment to track stuff that Five is asked him to, and it's his atmospheric radar goes off, apparently because of. Because
yes,
of Vanya's
sound
outburst.
A bit of an outburst. She stopped time and made a bullet stop.
Yes. And she
bit of an outburst, actually.
Calm down.
Just calm down, please.
anyway, and so Five pops off to go to investigate that situation. Meanwhile, Luther is getting some exercise in at the start of this week.
Yeah.
He thinks he sees Allison. He sort of turns around, shouts Allison, and trips over. But he's just being racist. I think it was just another woman. And I don't know. Some kid looks at him.
Yeah, kid makes fun of him.
Yeah.
And then he runs away.
Yeah.
Do we see? I think we saw human hands again in this episode.
Oh yeah, I keep forgetting to look for that, but yeah, it definitely is not consistent whether his hands are human or apey. I wonder if that's something that he has control over.
You got to remember, Evan, technically human hands are ape hands.
That's fair.
Got to remember that. Never dare forget it.
So we see Vanya pop up in the cornfield. Vanya's there. It's day now. I'm not sure how, I guess it was early in the morning when she was driving. And so Five kind of introduces himself as her brother, her little brother, and you know, not pulling any punches, tells her she's not meant to be in 1963.
Did Five know that she had lost her memory?
I don't think
so.
Because
he seemed to just assume that. But so maybe had he spoken to Luther about it? Maybe.
I think because, well, she says, does she say, who are you? Maybe. Maybe she doesn't.
Oh, maybe.
And maybe,
maybe
he just
yeah.
puts two and two together. But he also doesn't seem to care too much about anything. All he really cares about is this bloody apocalypse. He won't stop
He's
going
all about
on
business.
About it.
Yeah.
And so they're walking through the corn maze, and in the daylight, we can see the massive effect of her power. It's like a massive, like, crop circle, this huge radius of flattened. Corn maze. So I guess that throws her a little bit, but not as much as you might think.
And they also kind of, I guess they're kind of saying that this is what do you call them? Those big things in cornfields? Crop circles.
Crop circles.
This is what crop circles are. They're Vanya. You know all those circles?
Maybe that's what
they're
saying.
Just Vanya circles.
Whoa. We see Luther back at the club where he works or whatever. He's got a big fight on tonight. He asks a favor of his boss, Jack.
Who's the real person who killed the killer of JFK.
Yeah, right. I keep forgetting that. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's sewing. He's on like an overlocker sewing machine.
Yeah, right.
I don't know
yeah.
if that's an overlocker. That just sounded right. Is that right?
I have no idea.
Damn it. Is that a brand of sewing machine? To it. No, I think it's a kind. I think it's a... I'm doing too much Googling today, but I think it's... Oh, I don't know. My mom had one.
Okay. So he obviously has Allison on his mind. He's feeling a bit sort of down, and Jack's like, "What's up? What's going on?" He's like, "I need you to do me a favor. Can you track someone down for me?" So he gives the name Allison Hargreaves to his boss Jack to sort of pass on to his people, and you know, ask around a bit and see if they can track down exactly where if she's around where she is. And then we see
okay, where... Evan, oh, yes. Sorry. An overlock is a kind of stitch that sews over the edge of one or two pieces of cloth for edging, hemming, or seaming. Usually an overlock sewing machine will cut the edges of the cloth as they are fed through. Such machines being called serges in North America, though some are made without cutters. Okay, that doesn't really help me, but that's interesting. They cut as they sew.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I can't... That doesn't really... What are they cutting?
Well, doesn't I guess matter. if it's sewing a seam, then it cuts off the excess, maybe?
Oh, yep. Yeah.
I
yeah,
don't
yeah.
know. I'm
so
not
maybe a... that's what Jack, the boss, maybe he was... Yeah. Maybe he was using what he would call a serger.
Yeah.
Because he's in North America.
I mean, they don't really go into it, do they?
not as much as we do. That's why we are the premier... Umbrella Academy podcast.
Anyway, so Jack is going to help Luther track down Allison, but we see Allison has tracked down Klaus at his mansion.
Do we realize how did she do that?
I don't know how she did that. So she from memory she saw the guy. Was it Keechi? Was it the prison with the tattoos on his hand?
Now cult. Yep.
She put two and two together and thought, Klaus is at this mansion.
Oh,
I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know how.
That makes sense.
Does it?
Yeah. Well, I imagine she's like, oh, I realize that this guy exists, and she would have been able to track him down, right?
How?
She would have been able to Google hello, goodbye, tattoo hand cult or something. She wouldn't have been able to Google it though. That's
yeah.
a good point because it's 1963. Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, that's a good point. I'm not sure.
I mean, she's active in the community. Maybe she just asked around and.
Yeah, I like that they don't spoon feed us all of these things. Do we need a scene
really
for her to figure
that
out?
Much.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not like it's a plot hole or anything. It's just probably not important information.
It's the kind of thing that I wouldn't have thought about if we weren't doing these podcasts where we overthink.
I thought show. About it as it happened. I thought, because I wasn't sure if I'd missed something.
Well, that's what I always just assume, oh, I must have missed that. But it doesn't. I assume it's my fault, not they've left out a bit of info.
Look,
fills in the gaps. You're like, oh, she would have found out somehow. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, something else happens and you forget about it. Yeah. We see Klaus is chilling in the pool. Allison rocks up and they're really excited to see each other, very happy to see each other.
How does he keep that fit? Like, he's got a professional athlete body. He's living like a lounge life, lounging about. How does he do it?
That's true. I guess he's just
good genetics.
I
guess
good genetics. He's got a good metabolism. Maybe he doesn't eat much. We don't see him eating a lot.
Oh, that's true.
Maybe he's a light eater and fairly active.
Yeah, that's true. He could be a light eater and fairly active. Something I hadn't considered, and that's a good point.
I mean, he's not a fitness buff. He's not like Luther down, boxing and, you know, Luther keeps fairly fit, I think it's fair to say.
Maybe it's part of the superpowers is you just sort of get a pretty good level of fitness as well.
Yeah, maybe.
I feel like Luther, does he really need to be doing the exercising? He's naturally, or maybe that enhances it.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, maybe it enhances it.
I hadn't considered that. Maybe it enhances it. That's a good point.
Anyway, so Allison's like, you started a cult. And then Klaus is like, we prefer to call it an alternative spiritual community.
Oh, and we also, he name dropped it in the, what do you call it when they have multiple scenes back to back? I mean, a television show. Yeah, but I meant, you know, like short cuts. It's like a montage almost.
Yeah.
Whatever that is. But in that earlier montage type thing at the start, he called them Destiny's Children. So it's the second pop music reference. So he also, he quotes TLC and he calls them Destiny's Children, which you assume is a nod to Beyonce's old group.
Yes, Destiny's Child.
Oh, yeah, that one. Yeah, I was thinking of her other group.
Allison, they're sort of just catching up. Allison's, you know, explaining she's working as a civil rights organizer and she's married, so it's obviously big news. And then Klaus remembers that he actually met her husband, Raymond, when he was in prison.
Which, that was one where I'm going, ugh. He got to that very quickly. She said his name. And she goes, oh, he's done some time. How many names is he storing in his head?
Well, he's, I mean, it was only...
meeting people everywhere.
Would have been like the day before, wouldn't it? It was quite recently. And they had a bit of a rapport. They were talking about something. I can't remember.
Yeah, they had a minute-long conversation. I'm just like, I don't remember.
Talking about Shakespeare.
People's names very well, I guess, and I'm projecting.
Yeah, I'm bad at that. So Alison's saying her husband is, you know, is still in prison. He's like, why don't you use your power? And she's like, I haven't used my power since, you know, since, and we see the flashback of her, starting to say, I heard a rumor, when Vanya is
slit
enraged, and her throat is cut. Yes. She says, yeah, the last time I, tried to, she didn't even use her power in that case.
No.
She went to. And she wasn't able to speak for quite a while.
A year, she said.
Yeah, right. So she, yeah, it was interesting. So she, that in that year, she would have met her now husband.
And it's interesting that, well, obviously it wasn't some sort of modern medicine that got her voice back because she got it back in the 60s.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It just healed, so I suppose.
It must have just healed itself.
Or, you know, the great medicine they had in the 60s.
Yeah. Or maybe it's just the great genes that the Hargreaves family has, or the, you know, the miracle babies.
Yeah.
1989 had. Of which you were one.
Yeah. So, okay.
What would your what would your thing be if you were one of these? I mean, do you remember if your mum was pregnant before she gave birth?
I don't remember personally,
so
no.
So you might be one such birth.
Potentially.
Would you? I reckon you'd be known as the robot, and your skill is algorithms.
Okay.
What do you think?
Yeah, maybe an affinity for technology. I can be like Donatello.
Yeah.
I do machines.
You do machines.
Right.
And aside from that, you're also very good with computers.
Yeah.
Let's keep the private things private, Evan.
Okay, so the handler is in town.
Oh, yeah. It took me so long to be sure that was the handler.
Yeah, I wasn't sure either. Her hair is different.
Changed her hair color. And she's one of those people, like some people, you could change your hair color a million times, you always look the same, but it entirely changed what she looked like.
I actually saw the actress in another, like a trailer for something else recently. I'm like, oh, it's her.
Right. So,
I thought she's somewhat recognizable, but
I thought she would be too. But yeah, I'm like, wait, is this meant to be the handler? Is it a different actor?
I knew for sure when I saw the bullet wound on her forehead.
Yes, when she described the bullet wound, that's where it locked in for me as well.
So she's in town. She pulls into a pet shop, and there's a kid there tapping on a fish tank. She says, "Fish don't like that. Makes them nervous, anxious, whatever." Which is kind of funny because her boss is a goldfish.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Maybe this is in my head for a second. I'm like, wait, is this before he got promoted? But he's the boss in the 50s, sort of, right? So it's not really back in time.
Yeah, I still feel like the commission exists out of time. I'm not sure if that's that. If they're all time travelers, right? It just feels like they're not in the same timeline or something. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Yeah, so it was Yeah, just not sure why. Why they were there? I thought maybe there's a connection. Maybe there's a super intelligent fish in there as well, but
maybe
it didn't seem like that was the case in the end.
But she's obviously in town to deal with the rising situation. Five, trying to solve the apocalypse. They want to make sure it happens, I suppose. Seems to be what they want to do. She says to the kid, stop tapping on the tank, and then but he keeps doing it. They have a sort of brief exchange, but she whispers something to him, and then he pisses his pants and runs away. We don't know what she whispers to him, but it obviously was something fairly intimidating. So who knows what she's up to there.
Maybe she said, you better piss your pants and run away or I'll kill you. And then he and he just sort of was following orders.
Yeah, maybe.
We don't know. So I hadn't even put this together. She was demoted. She's meant to be doing a desk job.
Yeah, but I think that... Yeah, that's a good point.
So maybe we're going to find out, like, she's gone rogue or something.
Well, but I'm trying to think, because Five had that desk job, but we also saw him out and about doing stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So it may not be strictly a desk job. But, yeah, it's interesting. Obviously, at the desk job, you can send out memos and order other, you know, agents or whatever to do stuff through memos. But, yeah, I guess you can also go and take care of it yourself, maybe. Yeah. But yeah, I think we're assuming her task is still to deal with the Umbrella Academy people, stop whatever they're doing. Moving on, we see the civil rights group again. So Allison's there, and they want to postpone the sit-in that they're planning. Well,
one of the crew does, but. Allison says, no, that's not the idea at all, because JFK is coming. This is when attention's happening. We've got to do it now.
Yeah, but they're like, no, Raymond's locked up. We shouldn't be doing, you know, we should postpone because he's in prison and he's not there. And she's like, no, he'd want us to, you know, stick to the plan sort of thing. And they have a vote, and they vote not to postpone the sit-in. So stick to the plan.
And then one of the woman who I think she said she owned that salon, like Allison was kind of being shouted down by another member, and then the woman owned the salon said, basically, like, you know, let her speak. Let's put it to a vote. It did seem weird. One of them was going, all right, it's I'm calling it off. And then the hairdresser said, why don't we put it to a vote? And he goes, that's not how we do it. And then she goes, that's not how we do it. You're in my salon. Are you going to start doing haircuts too? And he said, no. And she said, yeah. And then Allison put it to a vote and the vote won. And then they all said, let's still do the thing.
Yeah.
Which turned out to be going into a cafe.
Yes.
What a full on powerful scene that was.
Yeah. Bit of a weird dynamic in that group. I'm not sure if that guy was actually like a leader of the group or something that got overruled by the majority, or if he sort of just decided for himself that he spoke for everyone.
I think anyway. Raymond feels like Raymond is the leader.
Yeah, and he just sort of slipped in this guy.
Yeah, there was a power vacuum and he was trying to take it, and Allison said, no, I will be taking the power vacuum. And then... the woman who owned the salon goes to Allison, behind every great man.
Yeah.
Which is weird, but anyway.
Yeah, a little bit of like girl power stuff in there as well.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Anyway, so We see the police station is the next thing that happens. There's a guy, the officer at reception is being spooked by some ghostly stuff. Obviously, it's Ben is playing a bit of havoc and spooking the guy, like throws his sandwich against the wall.
Yeah.
And there's a typewriter. Yeah.
It's funny because it's like, oh, he's faking to be a spooky ghost. It's like, wait, no, he is a ghost.
Yeah,
and
he is
spooking him. It's exactly, he's a ghost who's trying to scare this man. That's what it is. We just see it from the ghost perspective for once. Maybe we should see a little bit more of that and we'd be like, hey, ghost's not so bad. They're probably just trying to get an innocent man out of jail.
Yeah, maybe. So he writes on the typewriter, he says they should free Chestnut or else. So Chestnut Raymond, his last name is Chestnut.
Not just or else, it's or else dot, 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 you'll die.
Yeah, very threatening. So they release him, obviously, because they don't want to die at the hand of some ghost. Klaus is there, he sort of takes credit. He says, he calls him brother or something like that, and he's like, maybe he's getting a bit too familiar. He's like, no, we're brothers-in-law. You're married to my sister anyway.
Yeah, I hope you checked that with Allison, that was okay to share that much.
Oh, yeah, that's a good... Well, I guess none of this has actually been checked by Allison, right? Because Allison doesn't know... Well, because... Anyway, look, Raymond mentions later what had happened, and I don't know if she knew about it or not. It's not necessarily the kind of thing that Allison, like, she could have just done that herself if she wanted to
she
use
could have
powers
heard
to get him
heard
out,
a
right?
rumor. Yeah, yeah, that's true.
So I think she was more, you know, her attitude was more like, let's just, you know, not rock the boat. It's
let's just do it as it, let's not interfere. What's the thing on Star Trek? That's the Prime Directive.
Prime Directive, yeah.
Is it like that? Is there any parallel here?
Well, I don't know. I guess as long as you're going with the flow and you're making sure things happen the way they're kind of supposed to happen, I guess that's fine. You're not trying to change the course of history. Right. She's just sort of playing along and becoming part of it, I suppose. Anyway, what else? We see Five and Vanya. They're chatting now. They're at a diner. And Five is explaining Vanya's sort of whole outlandish backstory, how she was born and bought by a wealthy old man, and you know all that stuff. Obviously Vanya doesn't remember any of it. All she remembers is arriving in an alley in the 60s. But I mean, she's taking it rather well, I suppose.
She's very chilled out about it all.
Yeah. And of course Five keeps going on about this apocalypse. He says it's caused by an asteroid hitting the Earth, which is not quite.
That's a white lie, a white violin lie, if you will.
Ah.
But I think he's just trying to, you know, it's a bit much to take on to go, hey, yeah, you caused the apocalypse in 2019.
Also, it's maybe not relevant because it's not her that causes the apocalypse. That's the more more impending one, which is the one that's happening in 8 days.
And the one in 2019 won't happen if this one happens in 1963.
That's true, yeah. It's a moot point. Vanya's sort of taking all that in, but she's also conscious that she's just sort of run out on the family that she was staying with. So she calls back home. The son of the family, Harlan is his name. He's listening to music and he's listening to a record and it sort of skips. I gather he's possibly autistic. The record skips and he tries to reposition it and it plays a much like louder, faster song. He sort of freaks out a bit. And Sissy, the mother is trying to calm him down. And then Vanya calls at that moment, and she says that she found her brother, but also that she's going to come home soon to help out. But Five, as he does, he sort of just hangs up the phone on them, and just sort of says, "Look, nothing else matters. All that matters is the apocalypse. It's much more important than anything else that's going on in your life." And Vanya is convinced by that.
It's,
I suppose.
On Umbrella Academy fandom.com, it says, Harlan Cooper is a recurring character. He is a non-verbal autistic child who grows close with Vanya when she is taken in by the parents.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and that's why Sissy kind of likes having Vanya around, I guess, because the two of them get along.
And obviously, he's an audiophile because he's listening to vinyl, which is a yeah. richer quality of sound. He's not on the yes. Spotify type streaming services.
We were talking about this this week. You got a nice new speaker for your record player.
Yeah. But I think because the cable that goes between the record player is also new. It was my cousin Sam, who I do a music podcast with. She was talking up, and she knows a bit about it because she works at an audio shop, and she helped me get an affordable kind of system that still sounds pretty good. And yeah, but the one thing that didn't come with it was the cable that connects the two. So I've got one that I was part of an old tiny little speaker, and I have a funny feeling that, you know, it doesn't matter how good the two pieces are if the thing connecting them is cheap.
Yeah, it's the weak link in the chain.
Yeah, so I've got to try and get it better. But, I mean, it still plays and it sounds pretty good.
Yeah, right.
But I'd be probably lying a little bit if I said, everything changes once you hear that vinyl playing.
Yeah, we should start releasing this podcast on vinyl.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. Everyone has to buy a record every week they want to listen to an episode.
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea.
Flip it over halfway through the episode.
Yeah. For more drivel.
So, all right, what else is going on? Diego, we see, is still recovering from his stab wound. And him and Lila are getting a bit closer. She sort of discloses that she found her parents dead in her living room when she was 4 years old, the victims of a home invasion. So she sort of says when she found Diego, you know, stabbed in the, what was it, like a barn?
Yeah.
She's like, oh, it reminded me of when I, you know, found my parents. So that, you know, the sort of bonding a bit over that, and Diego goes for a kiss, and she slaps him, but then kisses him back. I don't know. It's a weird thing, but then they end up, you know, having sex.
Is that the implication? Yeah. Well, I mean, is this what this podcast has become? Jumping to conclusions. Evan talking about what he assumes is people having sex.
Sorry, my mind's in the gutter.
I mean, it's not in the gutter, but I don't know if we need to be. What are you? How deep do you want to go into this? So basically, they cut away, and there's a sort of a. You see them throwing their clothes against the window.
Oh, right. And this is where Elliot's there with his tuna mold. It's like what is it? It's like tuna in jelly or something. That was kind of funny. Yeah. He's there with his beautiful, well, disgusting looking dinner, and they're in the room next door, and you can sort of see through the curtain. They're just sort of throwing stuff around the room. Anyway.
But that's none of that is what you wanted to talk about. You just wanted to talk about the fact that they were having sex.
I just thought it was worth a mention. Okay. And then, and this is where we see the handler is taking a bath, Matt Stewart style.
Oh, yeah. Wild. I mean, her whole bath setup looked way cooler. She had like...
It was pretty fancy, wasn't it?
It was a very fancy looking bath. Like green tiles, which I know yeah. everyone says, what's fancy? Well, you start with green tiles and you go from there.
Yeah, I feel like typically green is one of those colors you avoid with decor, but no, not the handler.
I think the 60s was
she's in like a hotel
well.
Or something. And yes, the 60s were different. It was a different time.
Yeah, I reckon these curtains you see behind you might be from that period, perhaps.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting. They're sort of like brown and orange and red.
Yeah, it's a wild combo.
Color combo. I don't know.
It's got to be 60s, maybe 70s, I'd say.
Yeah.
Maybe 80s, but curtains like I'm that. Drawing a line there.
Yeah, 80s, they would have been pushing it for 80s.
Yeah, 80s was more like fluoro, wasn't it? They got rid of the browns and that earthy palette and they went to the space age.
Yeah, yeah, it was the futuristic decade, wasn't it? We were talking about this last week, I think. Or maybe the week before, we were talking about which decade we go back to, and we both said the 80s. So, we see. So Jack's people have found Allison. He's got an address on a little matchbook.
Yes.
Which, I don't know. Everyone writes everything on matchbooks in the 60s.
Yeah, that's the only way you could communicate. It was before before telephones, before letters even. If you wanted to get a message, you had to write it on a matchbook. Didn't it? It was the number in the street, not the suburb or anything. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, they assume they're in Dallas, I suppose.
Yeah.
Oh, he does say, doesn't he? He says south.
Oh, does he? Okay. All right, Evan. We've got an answer for everything, don't you?
Well, I don't know.
And this anyway, is the disturbing discovery that Luther's about to have.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, because Luther goes to the address. He's walking up the driveway. And then Raymond arrives. He sees him and introduces himself as Allison's husband, which, of course, is devastating to Luther.
Yeah,
Luther
breaks his heart.
Quite depressed.
It's a real
fact.
Comical, sad scene as they go inside.
It's actually,
Luther's brought Allison a box of chocolates. And then he says to Raymond, is it?
Yeah.
And he says to Raymond, do you mind? And then he just starts shoveling these chocolates into his face.
Yeah, oh. So they're sort of they're in the house waiting for Allison to come home. It's actually pretty funny. I reckon the actor who plays Luther has got some comedy chops.
He's great. He's, yeah, he's really
it's pretty,
funny.
It made me laugh. So they're waiting for Allison to come home, but Ray has to run, I don't think Ray really trusts Luther. He's sort of like that. You don't look like you'd be Allison's brother. This seems like a bit of a fishy story.
Oddball who's said that he's Allison's brother in 24 hours.
Yeah, second strange relative to pop up. And so he doesn't really want to leave him alone in the house, right? So he's sort
of fair enough.
Ushers him out. Yeah, it's fair enough.
I mean, even if he did definitely think it was his brother, her brother, potentially, he'd never heard of him until moments ago. Like, just to be safe. And he's just come out of jail. He's also planning some civil disobedience.
Yeah.
He'd be wary that he's a cop or, who knows.
Yeah, yeah. They leave. Allison goes to the diner, so this is the sit-in. It's the diner we saw before. They don't allow black people in the diner.
I couldn't read the sign because she walked in and they say, you can't be in here, and they point to a sign, but I couldn't quite read the sign. Did it say whites only or something?
Yeah, I think we've seen it in a previous episode.
Right. When she first arrived, I think the same thing happened.
Yeah, yeah.
And that
but
was
she sits
where
down
like,
and
oh,
she
fuck.
Says, yeah, she says, I'd like to be served. And then the rest of their group enter and also said that we want to be served, and obviously that causes a bit of a hubbub in the diner there.
I think it's just what was going through their heads back then where they thought it mattered what skin color you had to be eating food in a diner.
Yeah, so
isn't it wild to think that that was my parents were alive in the 60s? It's wild to me.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it is. It feels like it's not that long ago. There were all these weird sort of like, but people just thought they were different. Like the people, there were all these different connotations associated with it, which of course we all know is complete bullshit. But people. Thought they were it's like a different well I suppose a different race I suppose but
yeah just the, yeah I'd, it's just like yeah baffling
yeah
but not that stuff isn't still happening that is very baffling or worse
yes baffling stuff happens all the time. We see Klaus again. He's hanging around with Ben. They drive to a hardware store, and Klaus walks in, and he finds David. He's the love of his life from Saigon, from the Vietnam War, is working in this hardware store. He went there because he knew that, I suppose. It's not a coincidence.
Yeah.
And Ben is, you know, buzzing around as he does, like a ghost does. He's like, oh, this is why they came back to Dallas. And of course, it, you know, it's starting to make sense now why Klaus was unfulfilled with his cult and felt the urge to go back to Dallas, because he knew that his old lover would be there in 1963.
And he explains it further. He's trying to connect with him inside without saying anything. And Ben's like, "This, you shouldn't be doing this." He leaves after buying some paint, and then and Ben's like, "This is wrong. You're just confusing him. You should leave him alone." And then Klaus is like, well, "No, I know he's about to. He signs up for the army the day that JFK dies. That's what he told me. I just want to talk to him. I want to save his life."
Yeah, he wants to stop him from enlisting is kind of his goal here.
So, yeah, it's not, he's not being selfish or anything. He's quite the opposite.
Mm.
How did Ben take that? Surely he sort of went, yeah, all right, fair enough.
Yeah, I think so. I think Ben was just expecting that he was trying to rekindle whatever they had. But, which may still also be true. But Klaus is at least, for now, he's focusing on stopping him from dying in the war.
Yeah. He's definitely not following the prime directive.
No, yes, he's definitely trying to change events in history. We go back to the sit-in at the diner. It's starting to get rowdy. Police are there and stuff. Then we see Luther is his big fight that was mentioned earlier with a big guy that's about on par with him, I reckon.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I know Luther's huge, but this guy was very big too.
Mm.
But Luther was still, you know, still had the upper hand mid fight.
Yeah, because he's got superhuman strength, and the other guy's just got like the best human strength.
Right. Yeah. Just human strength.
Yeah.
So, but he's still thinking about Allison being married. Obviously, that's sort of thrown him a bit off kilter.
He's broken-hearted.
Exactly. He is. And he just stops fighting back.
He's thinking about the wedding photos and stuff, and then he starts begging to be hit. He's like, "Hurt me! I want you to hurt me."
He says, "Hit me! I want to feel all the pain."
Yeah, brutal.
And his opponent knocks him down.
Yeah, with a classic uppercut that sends him flying through the air.
So Jack is not impressed by this. And also Five and Vanya are there. I guess they're there to... I don't think we saw them going there, but I suppose they're there just to
recruiting.
Recruit Luther to help in the fight.
They got a ragtag band they got to put together.
Yeah, even though Five already tried this and Luther was thoroughly disinterested.
But maybe having Vanya... Well, he probably knows that would help sweeten the deal for Luther.
Yeah. And also, I guess Luther's in a bit more of a vulnerable position now. He might, you know, his life has been thrown around a little bit, literally and figuratively. And so he may be more inclined to help out, to just go along with what Five wants him to do.
Ray also gets to the diner as well.
Yes, so that's where he was heading, I suppose, when he left the house when Luther was there, arrives at the sit-in.
I think he got a call when Luther was there saying it's going ahead, and that's why he...
Oh, that's left, right, yeah. Yes.
So he... Yes, and, yeah, there's black people are protesting outside, you know, protesting for that they should be allowed to eat at a diner, and then white people are yelling hate inside at the protesters, and then someone, like, sprinkles... sugar or salt along all their heads, just absolutely treating them like dirt. The one of the workers, maybe the owner of the cafe, pours a hot tea into Allison's lap, so she jumps up to get out of the way of it, and that sort of sets off the police starting to arrest them all. Like, they couldn't arrest her because she was sitting, or as soon as she stood.
It was like, I suppose they're taking that as like, well, this was a non-violent protest, but now she's she's jumped up, she's, you know, she's fighting back or something. But she was just, it was like hot coffee or tea or something like that was spilled on her lap, burning her, right? So she jumps up, and Ray jumps up as well. And so they're both pinned down by police, and Ray is carried away, carried out of the diner and beaten. And really, like, sort of taken outside and really being
He was being pushed down on the table and had the baton pummeling him on the spine. It's like,
yeah,
how dangerous is that? It's like these cops, oh, honestly, that's it. Like, it's the most, that's been the most full-on scene in this whole series, right?
Yeah, it's quite full-on. Probably because it's sadly too close to the truth.
Well, probably, to be honest, it's been toned down, I'd say, from what was reality.
Quite, yeah, quite possibly. So he's, a police officer is beating him, and Allison is, like, it seems like basically beating him to death, right? And that's when Allison, she says, I heard a rumor that you walked away. And so the cop walks away. And so she saved Ray, but Ray is, he's confused. He's like, no cop is just going to walk away because a woman told him to, what's going on here? And he's actually scared, I think.
Yeah.
He's like,
he'd been increasingly worried since, she first said, he heard her say, I heard a rumor, when he was arrested. And then,
which is not that suspicious.
No, not that suspicious.
It's...
And then the two brothers rock up and he's starting to go, what's going on? But yeah, it does feel like he puts together something weird quicker than maybe you would.
Yeah. And doesn't, I mean, it just seems in a situation you'd just be like, let's just deal with that later. And you
this
know,
is a, this
the,
is a real
the issue
lucky
at hand,
break.
The riot on the streets. Let's maybe focus on that and deal with the weird rumor saying another time. But no, he sort of backs away. And also at this time, because of the riot, Klaus is there and is looking for Allison amongst all the commotion and grabs her and pulls her back. So they're physically separated now. What else happened? And then it's the bit at the end.
Yeah, they hadn't really done one yet this season, I don't think, a big reveal.
Yeah, but
this
is
a big one.
Big sort of big cliffhanger sort of thing. So, which I think you partially saw.
Well, coming. This isn't what I was thinking, though. I had no idea it was going to be commission. I thought she was maybe either one of the miracle babies, but that doesn't make sense.
Oh, that's right.
Necessarily.
Yeah, but you were sus on Lila.
But
so,
I thought there was. I just thought she might have been the Peabody. I thought she was going to be. I thought there was another side to her, but I didn't think she was working undercover.
Yeah, so
I don't understand.
This doesn't make sense
to me. So, which we'll find out later. But when she was
Diego and Lila. This is the scene. So, they've slept together. Sorry to be graphic.
No, Evan, please.
And so Diego's asleep. Lila, she sort of slips out quietly, and she goes to the pet shop. Like, why is she at the pet shop?
Yeah.
She goes to the fish tank. Like, why is she at the fish? That's the same fish tank. And she sort of opens up the lid and grabs a little chest, you know, decorative chest that's in there, and opens it up, and there's a room key, you know, for like a hotel room. She goes off and she enters the room. She calls out. She says, you know, hello, sorry, I'm late. Can I order room service? And then the handler walks in. Says, yes, you can order room service. And then Lila responds, thanks, Mum.
Yeah.
So Lila is the handler's daughter, apparently.
Well, that's just her nickname for her. But yeah, you would assume she is her daughter. And then
maybe it's because she's English and she's going, thanks, Mum.
Right.
You know, like they're doing the
Mom,
bill.
Like the boss.
You've seen the
yeah.
bill.
All right, Mum. Yeah, you're nicked.
Like, ma'am. You're nicked.
Ma'am. Mom.
No, I think she
said
say
mom. No, but it was mom, yeah. And so I was just thinking then, but maybe, so we don't really know, why has the handler changed her hair color? Has she left the commission and she's undercover and this is something separate again?
Oh, right.
Or.
Yeah, it's weird. It's not like, but she's not like in disguise, is she? Like, she's not, if any of them saw. Well, no, Five is anyone that would know who she is, actually, I guess. But if Five saw it, he'd know straight away that it was her. Like, there's no...
Well, I didn't, but yeah. Five probably would.
But But I think her disguise would not, like, Five would see through that pretty quickly. So I'm not sure. I guess it's just part of her just fitting into the 60s or whatever, right?
Maybe blonde wasn't a big hair color in the 60s.
Maybe not. I don't know.
I was just wondering. And then I took that as that she was working for the commission. Until just now, I'm like, well, maybe the handler hasn't been honest with Lila. Maybe the handler's manipulating her or something instead. But it did feel like that, didn't it? It felt like they were working together to undermine the Umbrella Academy, or at least Diego.
Yes. Yes.
Hmm.
So it's interesting. We don't know if Lila is working for the commission, if she was planted in the prison asylum or whatever.
Yeah, so
the prison to befriend Diego. I mean, she was pretty forceful in how she befriended Diego,
that
right?
Is like true. Yeah, she really, it was a hard tag to use footy footy.
And obviously and you know the situation where she saved his life, she was following him, which, you know, or stalking him, sort of, keeping tabs on him anyway.
Yeah, which all of a sudden you go, he's like, why were you following me? And she said she was afraid he was going to leave her, but now you're like, oh no, you were on his tail, basically.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Ooh.
So that's a big reveal.
Big reveal, big cliffhanger. We don't know what they're up to. But yeah, obviously Lila has Diego's trust. So she could do a bit of damage.
Yeah, we're in for some frustrating scenes soon where we're like, no, don't tell her that.
But I also wonder if Lila kind of has any, like, powers or abilities. Like, I don't know if the handler was still a bit unclear on whether the handler has any, like, superpowers. Yeah. She seems somewhat supernatural, but I thought her getting shot in the head and surviving was because she was immortal. Omnipotent or something like that. But that was kind of explained by her having like a metal plate in her head, right? So I don't know if we're kind of assuming that she's more or less human.
More human. Well, maybe than like human. As more human.
Maybe she's similar song? To I don't know. Maybe she's similar to Hazel and Cha-Cha. They're human, but they do seem to be somewhat superhuman, don't they? Like they go toe to toe with the Umbrella Academy, who have superpowers, and they, you know, they come off second best, but they put up a fight.
Yeah.
So then I wonder if Lila has any powers, or if she's human, and you know whether there's more surprises down the track.
Yeah, well, you assume there's going to be more surprises, right?
I guess so.
More humans, a song by...
It would be pretty flat if all the surprises stopped at episode 3 and the rest of the season was more or less as you expect things to play out.
That would...
Just really drawn
that'd
out.
That'd be pretty a fun thing, bit of meta sort of...
Yeah.
So, More Human Than Human is a song by White Zombie. Rob Zombie's band.
Right, okay.
All right, well, yeah, that's the end of the episode. Another banger, another good one, I reckon. They've all been good to me. Hasn't been a dud.
Yeah, it was action-packed. Lots happened. And the crew was starting to get together, starting to find each other, and slowly they're going to band together, I guess, and Five will have his way. They will join forces against the apocalypse.
Yeah.
8 days from now.
Yeah, I mean, we I guess we assume that's what's going to happen the whole way through, right? They'll come together and figure it out, but...
I mean, we still don't know... There's still no real inkling that there's a war coming, which is what this apocalypse seemed to be.
Were coming over for a nuclear war.
Just over a week, they're going to have Soviet troops marching on Dallas, so I don't know how all that's going to play out.
I've got some feedback. And if you want to get involved in this, you can post your comments via the link in the show notes. Send a message about whatever you like. It can be about apes. It can be about monkeys. It can be about cutie pie primates. Or it can be about the Umbrella Academy, specific to whatever you like. If it's about a specific episode and you want it read out in that specific episode, just tick that box. Much like Caleb from... Ashland, Illinois did. He's got a comment about season 2, episode 3, apparently. This is what it is. Been watching just enough to stay ahead of the pod while doing dishes in my half-wet desk. His liquid playpen, as others might describe it. Obviously, you do your dishes in the half-wetty. So, Caleb writes, in this episode, as soon as Five told Vanya she was adopted by an eccentric billionaire, I got so excited to hear the moment of triumph for Matt to rub it in Evan's face. Love your work. Cheers. I didn't even notice that. Yeah, that's right.
Does he say eccentric? Maybe he does.
That's good. Right. So,
that's canon now.
Yeah.
Then.
Out of the mouths of his own babes. There you go. Wow. Thank you so much for pointing that. Absolutely slipped me by, Caleb, because I know the truth. I know, it doesn't sound noteworthy to me when I hear him described as eccentric, because I'm like, yeah, he's an eccentric billionaire. We all know that. But, of course, Evan has been a denier, and now he can deny no more. I hate to see you defeated like this, Evan. But I do really appreciate that, Caleb. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Caleb. Yeah, it's good pointing that out because it didn't click with me. Weirdly.
Dom Greenwood has written one from about the season opener, and it's a question or a comment about Allison's ability. Dom Greenwood is from Ilkley in the UK, writes, if Allison's abilities allow her to alter reality, as shown in season 2, episode 1, which we saw when she said, I heard a rumor I blew your minds, and then the enemy army guy's minds melted.
Yeah.
It says, why did she make Vanya forget about her powers when they were kids rather than saying, I heard a rumor that you don't have powers at all? It just seems a bit silly of her. That's an interesting point.
That's interesting.
Any thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, she was doing what she was told. So maybe it was a decision that Sir Reggie made that they kind of wanted to suppress her powers rather than get rid of them entirely. I don't know.
It's also possible that maybe they didn't know that at that point, or she hadn't developed the power to that extent, up until now, because we haven't got to this new apocalypse yet. Maybe she learns that somewhere in the next few episodes, that she has that power.
We haven't so far haven't seen her haven't seen her bend reality that we know of, but we also we know she used it extensively as a kid, so
it's a good point. He also says, why doesn't she use her powers to reverse climate change or remove all the pollution from the ocean? Seems very selfish to me.
Yeah. I wonder who you talk to about that.
Yeah, because honestly, that is disappointing, Allison. You know, you got these powers and you're being pretty selfish about saying, I don't want to use my powers. Well, maybe just use them for good.
Yeah.
I think that's a very, very good point. Thank you, Dom.
I mean, she could, yeah, I guess part of it also is not wanting to, at least at the moment, not wanting to change the course of history, but she could have easily just sort of shouted out in that diner, I heard a rumor that you, were accepting of everybody.
Yeah, equality is here now, but yeah, maybe there's the feel that she wants it to happen organically.
I guess she's also the point is like she's making a point that is hopefully going to get picked up, nationally as a social movement, not just like let's solve this diner.
But what if she gets on the national news and says the same thing? I heard a rumor that.
Yeah, I wonder if it works over the airwaves, or if she has to physically be there.
Maybe if everyone's wearing an Oculus Rift, so it seems like she's really there.
Yeah, right.
We just don't know. These are questions that will be answered in the coming episodes, surely. What else do we got here? There's a message from Josh Harmon in Garland, Texas, which is not too far, I assume, from Dallas, because it's in the same state.
Same state.
Very least. Josh writes, Hello, this is more of a question for Evan, but I suppose Matt can answer too. Thank you so much, Josh. As a Weird Al lover, have you ever seen the movie UHF?
Yes.
He says, if not, you should. But, I mean, that point is moot. He says, "It's this is for other people listening along. It stars Weird Al, the nanny herself, Fran Drescher, and Michael Richards from his pre-Seinfeld days. It's about a man that's given a TV station and must create new shows to save the station. It's so bad, it's good." Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it's a bit of a, it's sort of like a, I guess a cult film. Not, sorry, not a cult.
A cult
film. Not about the occult. It's, directed by Jay Levy, who's Weird Al's sort of manager. Plays Gandhi in blackface in film. I mean, it's actually just Googled it. It's from the year 1989, born the same year as the Umbrella Academy and myself.
Whoa, what a year.
So, what a year. So much happened.
Did you know you would have seen the Arnie Donner promo video?
Hey, yes. How exciting.
Did you know? Because you knew about this series for a while.
Yes,
I didn't know about any of these cameos, or I don't think I did. And I
heard a bit because I see the Donners around the office, but that particular one, because I'm known as a Weird Al fan, Broden messaged me and said we had Weird Al on the show today.
You are.
And I was just like, ah, fuck you.
Oh, you took it, you know? Took it poorly.
I mean, it's so great.
He took the time to message you.
I was so jealous.
And you, I mean, that says something. I think you've revealed a bit about yourself there, Evan. You didn't say, oh, thanks so much for thinking of me to let me know this. That's really nice, Broden. You thought, fuck you, Broden Kelly.
I was very jealous, but I'm so happy for those guys.
Would it be fair to say that you put the weird in Weird Al Yankovic fan?
No, that would not be fair to say. No. I think the people who get tattoos of him, it's probably starting to get a bit too fanatic, but no, I'm not like a fanatic Weird Al fan. I mean, I followed him to Canberra once, but that's
without your parents' knowledge.
A story for another time. Yeah, it was a weird thing,
a 10-hour drive and something like that.
Jay Levy was there, the director of UHF.
Wow.
I've actually got a photo of me with Jay Levy. If anyone's
is
interested.
Any relation to Eugene Levy.
No, not related to Eugene Levy.
Hmm.
There's a photo of me with Jay. I got Weird Al to take a photo of me with Jay Levy. That's a weird thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah, that is a weird thing to do. Can you take this photo, please?
Anyway. yeah.
Josh Harmon. So I turned the question on. I haven't seen UHF, but I ask you, Josh, have you seen the Arnie Donner Netflix series promo video? Weird Al features in that as well.
Trailer. They call it a trailer.
It also features Ed Helms, who also produces it.
Yeah, produced by Ed Helms and Scott Aukerman
from Comedy Bang Bang.
It's produced by Comedy Bang Bang.
And You Talking Bang Bang. To Me. And the current podcast, You Talking Heads to My Talking Head. It's a podcast about talking heads. Hosted by Scott Aukerman and Adam Scott. Good stuff.
Really great. Yeah, I'm so looking forward to that show. So go check it out if you're a fan of Arnie Donner or the Comedy Bang Bang guys or Weird Al. Like, they're all very much in the same alternative comedy world. So if you like any of those guys, it's worth at least checking out the trailer and watching the show when it launches
in
November.
Ben Ross, one of people's favorite guests from this show, is in it as well.
Yep, Michelle Brazier is in it.
Yeah. Sick. I'm very excited.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe we've got time for one more. This one's from Marie Holt from Cranbourne in Victoria.
Oh,
just
wow.
On the outskirts of Melbourne here. Marie, beautiful, beautiful part of the world, Cranbourne, I assume. I don't know if I've been there, but it would be. That's not too far from where you grew up, isn't it, Evan?
I grew up on the Mornington Peninsula. It's sort of on the way, kind of a little bit out the
God's country out there, though. I know that. Bit open, nice and green. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, probably more developed these days, you know, as an inner suburban sort of.
Anyway. I think I've been to Cranbourne. I think I worked out there for a
week. I've been there. I can't remember why, but I definitely have.
I sat there. in a booth, if I'm thinking, at a Cranbourne shopping center selling evaporative cooling. Sitting at a desk by myself, 9 to 5, with a little clipboard. Yeah, good times. Okay, so this is from Marie Holt. Maybe I met you there that day, Marie.
Maybe you sold her an air conditioner.
Remember that air conditioner I sold you? coming up to great evaporative cooling time of year. It works beautifully in a dry, hot heat.
Is that what you guys used to call Christmas?
Yeah. The most evaporative cooling time of the year. Marie writes, "Hi, Matt and Evan. Love listening to the Umbrella Academy review." Oh, yeah. We had a suggestion a while ago, which I've forgotten to do, but we should call this... Was it Umbrella Academy Mates or Prime Mates Academy, maybe? Anyway, welcome back to the Prime Mates Academy. Marie writes, "Love listening to the Umbrella Academy review. I've now rewatched the first season and will rewatch the second along with the show. Number 5 is my favorite." Oh, interesting. We're a couple away. So that's good. Love that kind of
controversial
sizzle.
Oh, you hang on.
Oh,
number 5.
That is almost definitely what she meant. Yeah, she definitely meant the character number 5. She just said, I'm going to watch second season along with you. Number 5 is my favorite. That doesn't make any sense. She's watching it along with us. She wouldn't have seen number 5. And I somehow forgot there's a character named number 5. Anyway,
Number 5 is Alive. Another film, Short Circuit 2, with Blackface.
Oh, Evan, what a horrible gift you have. Marie goes on to say, "Matt, can you please give us an update on the footy, as I've no idea what's going on since they moved to Queensland. And I know I could just Google it, but I really enjoy listening to you talk about it the other week. Plus, I've seen a few people out and about with St. Kilda masks on, and I wondered if this means they're doing well." Marie. Okay, so this is a message that's a bit out of date. This is from the 3rd of October, so this is weeks old. And the Saints were doing pretty well at that stage. We won made the finals for the first time since 2011. And we won the first final, which was pretty exciting. It's the Western Bulldogs, and that was our first finals win since 2010. But unfortunately, in the semi-final against the reigning Premiers Richmond Tigers, they beat us reasonably comfortably, if you look at the scoreboard, but we just coughed up easy shots at goal. I would argue that it was a much closer game than the scoreboard suggests. And you can see that because we had the same amount of scoring shots. We were just poor in front of goal. Never put on the scoreboard pressure, unfortunately, even though we had big chunks of the game. We had momentum, but yeah. So that was a couple of weeks ago. Now it's this Saturday is the grand final, and it is between that team, Richmond, and Geelong, the Cats, who...
Both strong teams.
Yeah, like they've won five premierships out of the last 13 seasons. So it's a bit of a boring grand final for me. I was hoping it was going to be the other two preliminary finalists, Port Adelaide versus Brisbane. Would have been so cool to see Brisbane play a grand final in Brisbane, but not to be. It's two boring, successful teams instead. And it means that I don't really know who I want to win. Kinda, neither of them, but hopefully that
there'd be a good match for each other.
Yeah, hopefully it's a good
game regardless, right?
My instinct says
there's no clear winner.
Instinct says Richmond, just because they've been on top for the last few years, won 2 of the last 3 premierships, and probably should have won all 3. But the Cats have had the more impressive final series, so you just don't know. But then earlier in the year, the Tigers comfortably beat the Cats. I really wouldn't be surprised either way. The Cats have a few retiring champions, so maybe it would be nice to see them go out with a premiership. I don't know. I've got one of my good mates is a Cat supporter, so do I have any good... I've got some good mates who also have the Tigers. It's tough. You, Evan, have a Geelong connection, though, don't you? Some of your family members go for the Cats?
Yes. So, yeah. My family, my grandparents.
So you're probably leaning that way.
Yeah. The two family teams are St Kilda and Geelong. So yeah, I'd be barracking for Geelong in the final. But then again, Beck's family are Tigers supporters. So.
Oh,
we'd be split there.
You are star-crossed lovers, aren't you?
Well, luckily, neither of us follow the football, so rarely become a problem.
Fair enough. All right, well, that's probably all we have time for here at the Primates Academy in the Monkey House. Thank you so much for joining us again.
Wrap it up.
If you have any questions or comments or anything, please do get in touch via the message form in the show notes. And yeah, I'll get to them all. If we fall too far behind, I'll just do another episode where we catch up. So if you've put one in and you're waiting, I will get to it and appreciate your correspondence. Often people will just send in messages on matchbooks, which is pretty good and authentic. Anyway, Evan, people can find you on Twitch this Saturday and every Saturday morning via the link in the show notes, and gamergame.com, which is also in the show notes if they want to watch episodes of it.
I'm going to play some Oculus Quest 2, I think, if I can get it going. I'm going to live stream me. It probably won't be very interesting to look at. No, maybe it will. I don't know. I'll look very silly. Everyone looks silly with an Oculus headset on in VR. You look like an idiot. Anyway, that's me this Saturday. So tune in. 11 a.m. It's Melbourne time.
Grand final day. That's how you're setting up.
Yeah, what time is the grand final? It's in the evening this year, isn't it?
I think 7:30, something like that.
So it won't clash. So luckily.
No, you'll be able to do both. Watch both big events, Evan on the Oculus and the Tigers on the Cats. So catch him up there. Check me out on social medias at Matt Stewart Comedy on Instagram and Facebook, and MattStew_Art on Twitter. And check out other podcasts. Do go on. It's Blocktober at the moment. We're doing the biggest, most requested topics. It's a very well-researched podcast, certainly compared to this one. And you can, listen along. The last episode was about real human fuckhead Ted Bundy, borderline human. Subhuman fuckhead Ted Bundy. Real bad guy. I don't know if you know much about him, Evan. I hate him.
Not the guy from Married with Children.
No, not that one. He doesn't seem like the best guy either, but this one's quite a bit worse, I think. Other episodes have been about, one was about Robin Williams the week before, and the week before that about the Donna Party, which is a wild story of 1800s travel in America via horse and cart, and people ended up eating each other. And week before that was about the O.J. Simpson trial. So it's been all sorts of grim stuff lately. Anyway, please check all that out. That's called Do Go On, linked below. And the other show, Listen Now, where I go through albums with my cousin Sam. An episode not too long ago with featured Evan talking about Nine Inch Nails.
Oh, yeah.
It's not quite Weird Al Yankovic, but...
Trent
Reznor
band.
And Weird Al Yankovic combined. And they kind of did when Weird Al spoofed on Trent Reznor.
Yeah. But
anyway, we talk about that in that
Worlds
episode.
Worlds
collide. So thanks for joining us. We'll catch you next week. But until then, as we always say here at Primates Podcast,
this ain't no dog cast.
Fact.
Fact. It's an ape cast.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want, it's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.